Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word encourages us to pray and teaches us how to pray, and you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit when we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And we know that when we pray in the Spirit and with the Spirit, we're praying according to your perfect will. And Father, in this time that we have to share your word, it's my desire to pray as Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth, even as it is in heaven." So Lord, give us a deeper revelation of your will here on earth, and that we might rest in that and find peace in it, and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes on the subject of God's will on earth. And I want you to pay close attention, because this is a very simple, basic message, but yet it is quite a revelation if you'll get a hold of it. When Jesus gathered his disciples together and he was telling them different things, in Matthew chapter 5, we call the Sermon on the Mount the Beatitudes. And you go through those Beatitudes, and then it talks about we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world, and he came to fulfill the law. And then he talks about murder, he talks about adultery, he talks about divorce, he talks about, you know, swearing and taking oaths. And he explains the law in comparison with grace and mercy, and he tells us that we are to love our enemies. And if somebody requires something of you, go the extra mile and give them more than what they're requiring, and help the poor and the needy. And he gets to the subject of prayer, and the Jews knew how to pray in the sense of speaking words, but he was giving them a little bit something different. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It would be better called the Disciples' Prayer. I call the Lord's Prayer John chapter 17, because that's the prayer where the Lord was praying for us. Here, he's giving them an outline on how to pray for different things. And the other day, I was in the car, and I was listening to a Christian radio station, and this preacher was on, and they were debating the subject of healing. And this one person said, "Well, there are a lot of these," he didn't call them charismatics or Pentecostals, but I knew that's who he was talking about. He said, "There are a lot of these people out there who quote the scripture, 'By his stripes you're healed,' and they think that that means physical healing. But," he said, "it's very clear, if you look at that scripture, it's not talking about physical healing, it's talking about emotional healing and our sins being healed and we're cleansed from sin." He says, "We're going to die. You're going to get sick and you're going to die and you're going to get to heaven. And if you're a believer, and once you get to heaven, then you'll have a complete body. You'll be whole." But he said, "On this side of the resurrection, you know, we're attacked with sickness and disease." And he said, "Look around you." And he was just making a logical point for people being sick and needing to go to doctors and taking medication and all this kind of stuff. And I want to preface it by saying that I'm not opposed to doctors and medication and all that. I think every individual has to do what's in their heart to do. And it's obvious, there's all kinds of examples we could quote out there of people who were believers. Just recently, a very well-known, not only nationally but international, a charismatic minister died of cancer. And you would have thought, well, if anybody was going to be healed, why wouldn't he be healed? And that's just one in a long list of people I know of, personal friends. Even my own mother died of cancer. And these are people that were close to me that I knew they had a relationship with God, but I cannot base my faith or my belief on somebody's experience. My faith must be founded on the Word of God. And so I encourage you that when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to biblical subjects and topics, it's okay to discuss, it's okay to debate, but the bottom line is our authority comes from God's Word, not from somebody's experience or somebody's interpretation of it. The Word explains itself. The Word is very simple. And so here, I want to say and address the idea that by His stripes you were healed is only talking about spiritual healing, emotional healing, the cleansing, forgiveness of sin. Isaiah quoted that scripture. Well, he gave that scripture about 750 years before Jesus was ever born. If You read Isaiah chapter 53, chapter 54, he's talking about the coming of the Messiah. And he said that the Messiah would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we're healed. And then over in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter in his epistle, 1 Peter 2:24, makes the comment that he, his own self, bore our sins on the cross, that we should die unto sins, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. Now, if you were just looking at those two verses of Scripture, I could see where these fundamentalists would, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory sense, but these fundamentalists would have some ammunition to argue the fact that, well, the by the stripes you're healed is only talking about sins and emotional healings and that kind of thing, and it's not talking about physical healing. But if you link it, if you run a chain reference and you link it, you go to Matthew chapter 8, there's absolutely no argument there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 said, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with the word, and he healed all who were sick. And he's talking about physical sickness. He healed all who were sick in order that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And then he quotes Isaiah 53, 4, 5, and 6. Himself bore our infirmity and carried our sicknesses. I mean, the word is literal. Sickness, you look it up in the Hebrew, you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about physical sickness. Jesus healed every individual that he ever encountered that was sick. And so, in this time that we have together, I want to talk about God's will on earth. In teaching them to pray, in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Now notice he didn't say this is what you should pray. There's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer, but it's not, a lot of people use it almost superstitiously. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and they just go run through it. But it's an outline of prayer. He said this is how you should pray, not what you should pray. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'm reading this from the New International Version. The King James Version is a little different. It ends with, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is an outline, but I want to focus specifically on verse 10. Jesus said we should pray that God's kingdom come, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what we need to say is, okay, God has a will, and the will of God is the same in heaven as it is on the earth. And God's will is the same for us on the earth as it is in heaven. We talk about dying and going to heaven someday, and we go, well, in heaven, there'll be no sadness. There'll be no tears. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. There'll be no lack. And Jesus says, when you pray, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to pray that the will of your Heavenly Father be accomplished and fulfilled right here on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I want the will of God to be performed here just like it is there. Well, Jesus came to guarantee. He is the guarantee of the new covenant. He came to guarantee that God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In John 6:38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me. So when you look at Jesus in the Gospels and you see everything that he did it as a direct act of obedience in fulfilling God's will here on earth as it was in heaven. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb. He even raised the dead because he said, I've come that you might have life. His friend Lazarus died and was dead for 4 days. And his family was mourning his death at his grave. And when he said, open the tomb, they go, oh no, Lord, he's decayed. He stinks. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you could see the glory of God? See, the glory of God is life. And Jesus said, I've come to do the will of Him that sent me. And the will of God was for Lazarus to live, not to die. Now, yes, it is appointed, Hebrews 9:26, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the resurrection. But when you become born again, you will die a physical death if Jesus tarries, but you will never die spiritually again. You will live forever and ever in the presence of God and in the glory of God. And that's the way it's going to be in heaven. But Jesus said, you should pray that the will of God be accomplished here on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, I don't believe that Jesus would ask us to pray for something that was not possible. That would be futile, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be like telling somebody to do something that you knew ahead of time was impossible to do, but you're going to tell them to at least give it your best shot, give it a try? That would be downright just mean. If you already knew that they couldn't do it, but you're going to tell them, go ahead and try for it. No, the Lord isn't telling us to give it your best shot, try, hang in there. You know, if you don't make it on this side of heaven, well, you'll get it on the other side of heaven. And that's the way so many people that don't know how to deal with unbelief explain things from the Bible. They just make it a big mystery. Say, well, you know, God is mysterious in His ways. But yet Jesus said, I want you to pray this way. This is how you should pray. I want you to pray that God's kingdom will come and that His will be accomplished here on earth just like it is in heaven. He said, I came down here to do the will of Him that sent me. In Acts 10:38, Luke records these words. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. Now, Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So His will hasn't changed, and His ways haven't changed. When Jesus healed people, He healed people by faith in what He knew the Father wanted. The Father wanted him to be well. And then He says to us in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes, and that includes healing. Now, we're in this country, the United States of America right now, faced with political challenges right now about health care, and people are worried. They're worrying themselves sick about their health, whether they've got health insurance or so on and so forth. And, you know, the doctors do the best they can, I assume. They prescribe medicine and they give prescriptions and they recommend surgeries and things like this. But understand that this is a business. The medical community is a business. And a business is in business to make money. And they make money by doing what they're trained to do. And what are doctors trained to do? They're trained to prescribe medication. They're trained to perform surgeries. If everybody was well, the doctor and the medical business would be out of business. They would make no money. So it's advantageous to them to examine you and find something wrong. If you don't have anything wrong, they can say, something's wrong, your blood pressure's high, your blood sugar's low, you got cholesterol, you got a clogged artery, you need to have a this or you need to have that. And it's a proven fact that the medical community, I'm not saying all of them, but a certain percentage of the medical community are unscrupulous, because there are certain surgeries that are commonplace that it's a proven fact they're not necessary. Hysterectomies and different things on different surgeries on women are unnecessary, but yet they do them because they bring in money and they go, well, it's not going to hurt them anyway, you know. And so it behooves us as believers in Jesus Christ to pray, as we heard in this prophetic word tonight, to listen to God and do what He tells you to do. Amen. Now, I'm going to say to everybody listening to me right now, whether you're here, whether you're listening on the internet or listening to a CD, there will probably be a time in your life where you will be faced with some kind of a health challenge, because we live in a sinful world, we live in a fallen world, and the devil is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he uses cancer, and he uses heart disease, and he uses high blood pressure, and he uses diabetes, and he uses every manner of sickness and disease to try to kill, steal, and destroy you. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and and you might have it more abundantly. And not only did I come to give that to you, I gave my life. By my stripes, you have divine health. Now, if you'll believe that, all things are possible. So if you're not feeling well and you come to a point where you go, you know something, I really need to go to a doctor, I'll guarantee you, if you're not feeling well and you tell a doctor you're not feeling well, he's going to figure out something that's not making you feel well, and he's going to prescribe something for that. And Jesus is saying, when you pray, here's how you should pray. Lord, I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. And in heaven, there is no cancer, there is no diabetes, there is no high blood pressure, there is no cholesterol, there is no sickness, disease, weakness, or infirmity. There is none of that in heaven. And he says, I want you to pray that you experience that here on the earth. Because here on the earth is where you and I live right now, and here on the earth is where we need it right now. Amen? I mean, I'm not concerned about when I get to heaven, because I believe that when I get to heaven, it's going to be like the Word of God promises me. Every tear will be wiped away, all sickness and disease, all heartache, it'll all be taken care of. I believe that. I'm not concerned with that because I'm living on the earth. So what I want is to live on this earth in such a way that God's will is fulfilled in me here and now. Amen. And Jesus said, I want you to have the same thing here on the earth as you're going to have in heaven. And I believe that God wants you to be delivered of sickness and disease. It's God's will to heal all that are oppressed of the devil in your spirit, in your soul, or in your body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, and the enemy's going to attack you in any way he possibly can. He'll attack you in your mind. He'll attack you in your spirit. He'll attack you in your physical body. And you have to be aware of that. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all, not just some, but all that were oppressed of the devil. If he did it then, he'll do it now, if we'll believe. Now, take a look with me at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 is a scenario that I want you to take a close look at and compare in your own experience in case you're ever afflicted in your body with a sickness or a disease. This is talking about the healing miracle at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 5 verse 1 said, sometime later Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I think that is a fair question that we should ask anybody that is sick. Do you want to get well? You would think the obvious answer is yes, but I'll tell you from my experience, not every sick person wants to be well. I've had people sitting in wheelchairs, and I know the anointing of God was all over them, and I would say to them, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk, and they would say, well, if I'm healed, I can't get any more disability checks. And that actually happened to me in a service one time, and it just blew me away. I thought, you mean you'd rather just have disability checks coming in than have your health and get up? Well, you know, yeah. Well, Jesus asked the man the question, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place, it was a Sabbath day. Now, remember Jesus said, I came down here to do not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. God the Father sent Jesus to do his will, and his will was for this gentleman to take up his mat and walk. But for 38 years, he was close to a miracle but never got it, and he always made an excuse. Well, every time I try to get down there, somebody beats me to it. And it shows me that we can come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't believe God and receive what we need from God, but yet Jesus is asking us, do you want to get well? Do you really want it bad enough? Because it's there, it's available. He wasn't teasing this man, he wasn't taunting this man. In the King James, it says, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? I look up the word whole in the Greek. The Greek word literally means healthy, well in body, sound, whole. So Jesus was saying to him, wilt thou be made healthy? Wilt thou be made well in body? Wilt thou be made sound? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to get well? Well, the resounding answer should be yes. Yes, I want to get well. So Jesus brushed off the excuses that he was giving. Well, I have no one to help me into the pool. Jesus is saying to us, get rid of your excuses. Look to me. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. Look unto me. And I'll give you the will of God, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to perform the will of God. And the will of God is take up your mat and walk. And he did it on the Sabbath day, which according to the Jews were such legalists that you weren't supposed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath day. And later on, if we read further in the chapter, we'd see that the man was criticized and rebuked because he picked up his bed and he walked. And they considered that work. They weren't happy for the man that he got a miracle, that he'd been an invalid for 38 years. They weren't rejoicing in, wow, look at that miracle of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. They didn't have to say thank you, Jesus. They didn't believe that he was Messiah, but they didn't even say, thank you, Abba, Father. They go, what are you doing walking on the Sabbath day, carrying your mat? You're working. 38 years, an invalid. They didn't care about that. See, religion is all about rules and regulations. But Jesus is all about doing the will of God, God's will on the earth. And God's will on the earth was for that man to get up and walk. Now, the Apostle Paul, who had an incredible encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ after he was risen from the dead, that is, after Jesus was risen from the dead. Paul was a rabbi. He was a very learned scholar. But in his writings, he said, everything that I have ever learned or experienced in life, I count it as dung in comparison to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Knowing about Jesus is far greater than anything I've ever learned in my entire life. And he wrote in the latter part of his life and ministry to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, he prayed for them. He said, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Now look up that word whole. It's a different Greek word. And it means complete in every part, perfectly sound in body, entire and whole. Jesus asked the man at Bethesda, do you want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healthy, well in body, sound and whole? And Jesus said, then take up your bed and walk. Act on my word. I'm telling you to do something, now do it. And that's what faith is. Faith is acting on the word of God, acting on the promise of God. When you say, I can't, Jesus said, you can. So you need to start saying, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God's will on earth is for you to be whole in spirit, soul, and body, just like you will be in heaven one day. If Jesus tarries and you die physically, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a glorified body. You won't have cancer. You won't have heart disease. You won't have diabetes. You won't have any kind of sickness or disease. Why? Because it's not allowed there. It's not allowed in the presence of God. Why? Because it is a product of sin, and Jesus died for sin. And if Jesus died for sins here on the earth,
By His stripes we have been healed in spirit, soul, and body. Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means it's on this side of heaven. It's here on the earth. Until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray your whole spirit, your soul, and your body, your whole being be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 24 says, faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. And so He's saying God will do it if you'll allow Him to, if you'll believe Him. God's will on earth is for you to be whole in spirit, soul, and body. Now, you say, well, how come I'm not? I'm going to tell you, you don't have to die and go to heaven to be whole. You don't. You can believe it by faith right now. You can accept it and receive it by faith right now. I want to read to you something that was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 5. And listen to this carefully. Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The prophet is saying, if you put your trust in man, if you put your trust in the arm of flesh, then you've cursed yourself. But if you will put your trust in the Lord, you will be blessed and you will be a fruitful tree that puts his roots in deep and bears fruit even when everything else around, in the year of drought, when everything else seems to be falling apart, he said, you can remain green and strong and fruitful. What's that saying? It's saying that God's will can be accomplished here on the earth just like it is in heaven if you'll believe Jesus for it. If you will believe. If you can believe, anything is possible to him who believes. But you see, notice, he says here in verse 8, it does not fear when heat comes. When the heat is on. What's the heat? Well, heat can be pressure. It can be friction. It can be a diagnosis. It can be you not feeling well and you going to the doctor and the doctor says you've got cancer. Or you've got some terminal disease. And you're either going to have to go through surgery and chemotherapy and radiation, and it's a long, drawn-out process, and your chances might be 30, 40, 50%. We don't know for sure. This is what the arm of flesh tells you. Then you've got the choice. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what. If I were not feeling well, and I went to the doctor, and he told me that I had cancer, I'll guarantee you I'm human enough, like anybody else, the first thing that would attack me would be fear. Fear comes. And remember, I've taught you what fear, the word fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. It's false, it's evident, but it's false. It appears to be real. Faith and fear cannot operate in the same arena. One has to win, one has to lose. Dr. Summerall used to say it's like tying two dogs to a tree. If you feed one and starve the other, the one you feed will live. The one you starve will die. If you feed your fear, it will destroy your faith. But if you starve your fear and feed your faith, your fear will die. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You don't have to be afraid. When you're up against a diagnosis that might be life-threatening, I'll guarantee you, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, and he uses fear. So when fear comes, you need to stop and listen to what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say about fear? Well, there's many, many passages.
Fear not, Isaiah said, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. I came to do the will of him that sent me. His will is that you be whole in spirit, soul, and body and be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so fear often robs people of God's blessings, but faith will possess the promise of God. And God's will on earth is the same as it is in heaven, that you be whole, that you be healthy, that you have everything the Word of God promises. Let me conclude this by reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let these words sink into your heart. Isaiah 40, 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. What's everlasting mean? It means it lasts forever. God lasts forever. He doesn't change. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. My hope is not in chemotherapy. My hope is not in surgery. My hope is in the stripes of Jesus Christ. By those stripes, I have been healed. When sickness and disease and weakness and infirmity comes knocking at the door and brings fear, false evidence appearing real, and tries to get you to believe that and submit to that, you have a choice to make. What are you going to feed, the fear or the faith? If you feed the faith, you can starve your doubts to death, and you can rise up and you can accept God's will here on the earth just like it is in heaven. Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, no sickness, no disease, no cancer in heaven. And Jesus said, that's what I want to see here on earth. And this is what I came here to guarantee you. This is what I came here to establish. I didn't come here to do my will. I came here to do the will of him. And I came here and I was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power, and I went about doing good. And the good I did was I healed everybody that was oppressed of the devil because God was with me. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's with us now. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's God's will for you here on the earth. So I challenge you, as you're listening to me at this moment, if you've been diagnosed with something terminal, if you're facing something that is life-challenging, if you're fearful right now, I want you to know that God's will for you is to be whole in spirit, soul, and body. And if you will only believe, then all things are possible to them that believe. Don't make excuses for yourself and don't cite somebody else's testimony or experience and say, but so-and-so tried to believe or they believed and they died. If they died and they were believers, then they're in heaven. We're not worrying about them. We're concerned about getting you well now. And what you need to do is lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you have been called. You need to lay hold of the promise of God. You need to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And you say, but I have fear. Well, then deal with that fear. Starve that fear. You got to get rid of one or the other. And hopefully, you'll choose to believe God's word and his promise, that it's his desire for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, right here on the earth. So let this message settle in your hearts now. Listen to it again if you're ever challenged. And I know that as a minister of the gospel, I have been and probably will be in the future challenged to believe my own words. But I don't mind that because they're not my words, they're God's words. And God's words settle forever in heaven. And I know that by his stripes I am healed. And even though it would appear the outward man is perishing, The inward man is being renewed day by day, and that inward man is the man of faith that can also receive the blessing of God for this mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in this mortal body and will quicken. That word quicken means to give life to. So when my outward man appears to be perishing, I need to allow the indwelling Spirit to quicken this mortal body, to bring life back to it. I've told you this story before. I'll end with this. I won't go into great detail, but you know, Adam sent me a text message, I think it was this morning, and he said that he was down by the river at Front Mall, and he said, I saw my first eagle this year. You know, the bald eagles come down there and they fly over the Kansas River and they perch in the trees, and if you're down there long enough, there used to be a lot of them down there, but they'll swoop down and get fish out of the river and take them up in the tree. You can watch them. It's really neat to watch. I've got a lot of video that we took years ago watching them do that. But so this scripture is very meaningful to me, Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I said, what do you mean renew our strength like the eagle? So I looked it up and in one Bible commentary, and it told a story about how eagles, when they get old, when they get older, their beaks get big and cumbersome. If you've ever seen an older eagle, the eagle's beak will get really big, really large. And they said in the wild, normally what happens is when the eagle's beak gets so big, it will fly off to the top of a mountain somewhere and begin to peck that big, cumbersome beak on a rock, and it'll eventually break it off. When it breaks that beak off, it's not able to eat. So it goes through a period of fasting. But while it's fasting, its feathers begin to fall out. He said, if you see that eagle at that particular point in its life, you would think it's as good as dead because it doesn't have a beak and its feathers are falling out. It looks defenseless, it's hopeless, and it's not flying. But what's it doing? It's renewing its strength. It's waiting on the Lord. It's waiting on that process that God programmed into it. And he uses this as an illustration. They that wait upon God, they that wait upon the Lord, they also will renew their strength just like the eagle. What happens? After that eagle goes through a period of time, the beak grows back. As the beak grows back, it starts looking for food and it starts eating. It might be a mouse, it might be something, but as it takes nourishment, then its feathers grow back. And then all of a sudden one day, it when the timing is right, it spreads those wings and the wind hits it and it begins to soar and to fly. And when you look at it, it looks like a new young bird. Now that's the story of the eagle. That's one of the commentaries that I read. God is saying to us, even though you may look old and defeated and cumbersome and weak, if you'll wait on me, if you'll trust in me, if you'll believe my promise, if you'll confess my word, you will one day also mount up with wings as eagles. You will run again and not be weary. You will walk again and you won't faint. And yet that's not talking about going to heaven someday. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want it now. Amen. I want it here on earth. Amen. If my body's attacked with cancer or diabetes or heart disease, I'm not thinking about, well, I'll get my total healing in heaven. No, I want it now. I want to enjoy life now here on this earth. I want to get rid of the cancer, get rid of the sickness and disease. Why? Because according to the Word of God, Jesus took in His physical body on the cross my sin and my sickness and disease. Because the sickness and disease that would try to attach itself to my body is simply a byproduct of the sin that I inherited from my father, Adam. And Jesus dealt with that sin. He carried that sin away, and He carried the byproduct of that sin away, which is sickness. Jesus took it all on the cross. Wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace, and with His wounds, His stripes, you are healed. That is God's will on the earth for you. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, I just thank You for encouraging us with this word that by the stripes of Jesus we have been healed, that healing is indeed the children's bread, that when sickness and disease comes knocking at our doors, we can answer with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and we can stand on Your promise and know that Your promise is settled forever in heaven. We can know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can know that this fear, this false evidence that appears real, is nothing more than a smokescreen of Satan, and we do not have to give in to it. We do not have to submit to it, but we do have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life whereunto we've been called, and to war a good warfare and receive the blessing that is promised to us. So for everyone listening to this message now, wherever they may be, I set my faith in agreement with them that God has sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, and God's kingdom is come, and His will is being done even now in your body here on the earth, even as it is in heaven. And we give God the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise Him.